So anyway, that must mean I need y'all be praying for me. Hopefully I can remember everything that, you know, God has laid on my heart. You know, we've been studying through Mark, and we got to this passage about bewaring of the leaven of the Pharisees. You know, Mark 8:15 talks about that. And I just got kind of a little note that just says, beware bad leaven, bad teaching. You know, we live during a day and time that we've got some bad teaching out there. People do not understand God's Word. They don't understand who God is. They have manufactured a Godhead that they want to believe in. You know, the Jesus Christ that everybody, that most people will say, well, I believe in Jesus. But then when you ask them who Jesus really is, they won't describe the Jesus of the Scripture. They describe a Jesus that they present that likes their sin. You know, this morning when Brother Comer was doing his devotion, he was talking about that. It's amazing how his devotion goes along with my message, and we don't even talk about it. But this morning we're going to talk about how God is a God of righteousness, and that's not spoken about in very many congregations. What you will hear is that God just accepts you. And that's a false teaching. God does not just accept you for who you are. He accepts His Son who you accept, and he gives you a life changing experience where He doesn't accept your sin. He changes you. He changes that process, that thinking inside of you. He makes you a new creature. Your mind, the Scripture would say, you know, our mind is renewed. We're given a new heart. The old man has passed away. Behold, all things have become new to somebody who's experienced God's righteousness. God's righteousness will not accept a sinful lifestyle. Yes, do we sin? We do. We all sin. But if you think that you can live in your sin and that God's okay with that, you're wrong. What that would show to me is that you've never really truly been converted, or you would agree with God that sin is evil, it's wicked, it's bad, it costs God His only Son. Because there was no other way for that sin to be forgiven except through the blood of Jesus Christ. Next weekend we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But sin is expensive. You know it is. Have a child grow up in your home, and then when they get to their teenage years and they rebel and they turn to drugs, or they turn to whatever in this world, and they rebel and they chase that. What does that do to the family? Some of you know. It breaks that family heart. Sometimes it breaks their finances, because they look at that person, they're saying, it's worth whatever I have to redeem them. God believed the same thing about you. But never will that family say, oh, it's okay that you're an addict. What family would do that? When they see that the things that's coming into your life are self-destructive, God doesn't either. You ever wonder what sin really is? Sin is what God sees in your life as self-destructive in nature. And He sees it can tear you apart, where it messes with your mind and it messes with your life, so that you will not be able to fulfill His purpose for your life. Those things are sin. I mean, He gave us some in the Ten Commandments. All those things, if you go against them, they make you self-destructive. But there's other things out there too that aren't listed in there. James would talk about those things that he who knows to do right and doesn't do it, it's sin to him. That there's other things out there that's just not listed in the Ten Commandments. You might can plug it in if you try hard enough. But there's other things out there that we do that are self-destructive in nature, and God said, it has become sin to you. You know, if I decided that I was just going to go fishing every day of the week and I neglected my family and I neglected church, would my family be okay with that? I know you guys, would you guys be okay with that if y'all paid for me to go fishing every weekend? Like, I'll see y'all Monday, but Sunday y'all find somebody else. But I still want y'all to take care of me. How long will that last? That y'all be coming up, Brother Mitch, you got a problem. That something in my life has become a sin. It's become self-destructive. It's definitely not righteous. And God is righteous. Would you pray with me this morning? Dear Lord, I just want to ask that you would just guide us in our thoughts and our hearts, that we can understand your word and we can be able to apply it to our life. Help us to see from your scriptures how you are righteous and how you want to make us righteous through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to reject the teachings of this world that says that we can do whatever it is that we want and you still accept us. Lord, help us to see that you want us to be holy because you are holy. Not because we're perfect, but because you want us to have, you have a plan for our life and you have got something better prepared for us. Help us, Lord, to seek your face and to understand it. Guide us, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit flow freely this morning, not just to me, but to your people, so that we can all understand your righteousness and apply it to our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Look in Isaiah chapter 51 this morning. In Isaiah chapter 51, Isaiah will write in verse 7, so Isaiah 51 and verse 7, he says, "Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings." So here, Isaiah is speaking on God's behalf. He's writing it down. He says, "Listen to me, all you that know righteousness." Do you know righteousness this morning? Do you know righteousness? Isaiah here, he would say, here are the ones who know righteousness. It's in your heart. It's in your heart. You know, the things that are in your heart, those are the things that you're going to give yourself to. Those are the things that you're going to make time for. Those are going to be the things that you love the most, those things in your heart. And he says, do you know righteousness? Is it in your heart? He says, it's my law. My law is written in there. What do you live by? What's your moral compass? What do you think makes you who you are? See, when God's law is written in your heart, you don't have to fear the reproach of men. You don't have to be afraid of anything. That's a big thing these days. Fear, fear, fear. They're all afraid. If you've got God's law in your heart, you're not afraid. You have courage. You're bold because you know that it's not about you. It's about Him. You don't have to worry about your righteousness. All you have to worry about is God's righteousness and how He wants to apply that in your life. How will He do that? He'll put it in your heart. If it's in His heart, if it's in your heart, you don't. People look at the Ten Commandments and they're like, "Oh, God's just about a bunch of rules and regulations." It's never been about the rules and the regulations. It's about what's inside of you. It's about what makes you tick, what makes you think, what drives you each day. Is it God's law? Is it His righteousness? If you don't know righteousness, you can't hear God. I've had several people ask me or talk to me like, you know, I just want to hear from God. I want to hear what He's got to say. But they don't know God's righteousness. Again, they think that God is supposed to accept their sin rather than them accept God's righteousness. They're not going to hear from God until they accept God's righteousness in their life. God is righteous. Let's talk about it just for a second. Do you know righteousness? Is God's law in your heart? This is what it will look like. What's your identity? How do you identify yourself? You know, this morning I was thinking about that. It wasn't too long ago that often when I dressed in an Air Force uniform, I could be identified as a member of the United States military. More specifically, a master sergeant of the United States Air Force. And people would look at me, and I had an identity, and they would call me Master Sergeant Doss. They didn't look at me as something else. But even though that's what was presented on the outside, the way I identified myself, I'm a saved creature in Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of people out there that they will identify with their sin. Have you ever been to a reformers class? I've visited some of them. I just wanted to see what was going on in there. And a lot of times, as they're going around the room, they'll say, "Hi, my name is this, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm addicted to drugs. I'm an addict." And they identify themselves with their sin. And we live in a culture that celebrates sinfulness. Some of the things that they accept now is they'll say, "Well, I am a homosexual or a lesbian or whatever," and they celebrate their identity with their sin. When did we ever start identifying with our sins? Just recently, when our culture started celebrating those things. When did we start saying that that's who I am, and you must accept me, and you must accept my sin? That's what they're saying when they say that. They're telling you, you must accept that. Jesus Christ does not accept you celebrating sin in your life. He died on the cross so that the sin could be taken away, so that you could be an overcomer of sin. So that He would give you the power and the grace, so that when those things come, yeah, you may fail sometimes, but that doesn't have to be your identity in this life. We should be able to identify with Christ. That's why we say Christian. Because we identify with Christ. This morning I was reading some of the writings from like Josephus and some of those early historians. And they would classify a certain type of person that believed in Jesus, the one who was called Christ, those Christians. And they would plug that name to identify them. And they called them a cult. Did you know that? They call Christians a cult because Christians did not believe in the Greek and the Roman gods. They called them atheists. Christians never identified themselves as Christians usually, unless somebody came up to them and said, "Are you a Christian?" Then they would say, "Yeah." Or more precisely, they would say, "I am the follower of the way." Speaking of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. The one by whom no person can go into the Father. No person can go to heaven except through Him. But we don't know righteousness very well today, because we celebrate our sin. And we use the sin to identify ourself. And we'll even have our government pass laws to accept sinfulness. Where did we go wrong? we lost the sight of righteousness. If you'll read the writings of our early fathers, they will speak much about righteousness and doing right, because they knew that those are standards. But when we went away from that, you realize that murders went up. So now that people would start celebrating, you know, the gangs that we have, they're starting to increase in Arkansas. They've been increased in South America and Mexico and Central America, and they have come up into our area of the woods now. And they have created these gangs, and we have seen an increase in violence. I know nobody likes to talk about these things, but that's what you can expect whenever we turn our eyes away from righteousness and we start celebrating sin, because that's what they do. They celebrate sin. And they teach others how to celebrate their sin. And they mock the name of Jesus. And they don't understand the righteous one. They don't understand what righteousness is. They don't understand how it's supposed to be in their heart. Just ask any one of those members. They'll say, "Oh, I'm of the Crips. I'm of the Bloods. I'm of MS-13 or whatever." How will they identify with them? Knowing that they're murderers, they're rapists, they're thieves. And they're saying, that is what we identify with. And they're proud of it. They do not know righteousness. I've been talking to some of the students. It's creeping into the schools in Jonesboro area. We need to be praying harder for them, because they are teaching the children to identify with other things rather than with Christ's righteousness, because people don't talk about it very much. Romans 10 and verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You know, you don't have to learn all the law. If you just accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, His righteousness will come into you. God will write His law on your heart. You'll feel it. You'll want it. It'll start messing with your mind, so that the things of your past that you used to think were okay, now you'll look back and say, "No, those things are despicable now. They're wicked. I don't want them. I can't believe that that was me. I don't even think like that. Why in the world did I think like that once upon a time?" You don't even understand yourself. Because righteousness, when it comes into your heart, there is light and day difference, literally, between the powers of the darkness that I was in before I was saved, then the power of light that I entered into when I accept Jesus Christ and His righteousness and let it apply to my life, so that is given to everyone that believeth, according to the Scriptures. Romans 6:16 will say something like this: "Know ye not that whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?" I don't know if you understand exactly what this verse is saying, but it's going to be really difficult for you to be a Christian murderer. Does that make sense? How can you yield yourself to sin and say, at the same time, "I'm a Christian"? How can you say, I'm a Christian, whatever, yet I live according to the practice of a sin, rather than the practice that Jesus Christ has given to you? Do you realize what will happen if you say, I'm going to yield myself a servant to Jesus Christ? In Matthew chapter 5, He'll say it like this: "You will hunger and thirst after righteousness, not after sinfulness." Is that being taught much? Not very much, is it? Because hungering and thirsting after righteousness means that you might become this Bible thumper You're always wanting to read your Bible. You're always wanting to get more of the Word. You enjoy it. You love it. You're like, it's not enough for me to just get a little bit of preaching on Sunday. I've got to have some Bible study. I want to know more. What's the best version? Man, I'm struggling with this. What can I use to help me understand it better? What are the tools that are available for me to be able to gain the knowledge? Because when I yield my servant, become a servant of Jesus Christ, I want to obey Him. I want to know more about Him. I mean, just think. I know some of you, you're going to have to think way back. But think right before you got married to your sweetie. What did you do? How did you get to know them? You practically became a servant to them, right? You wanted to do all things with them, and then you would study them. You would try to figure out, how do I make that person like me better? You know, Joy did that with me. She even went fishing with me a couple of times. That's rare now. But she wanted to get to know, like, what is he really doing out there? She wanted to know. But we'll do those things, trying to figure out, who is this person that I'm really becoming a servant to? You really, that's really what marriage is about. You make yourself a servant to each other. You give. It's all about giving. 100%, 100%. That's what it's all about. That each just gives basically into almost everything, unless it's like you just can't. But you want to make that happen. You want to make it work. That's the only way to make it work, where you give of yourself for others. But if you yield yourself to sin and unto death, then that's what you reap. That's who you obey. That's what you act like. Jesus would say, the tree is known by the fruit that it bears. Is it of righteousness? Or is it of unrighteousness? You just can't get both of them off the same tree. You can't get sweet water and salty water from the same fountain. It just doesn't work. Yet we live in a Christian world that says, oh yeah, you can handle both of those. The Scripture would say that that's lukewarm. And it also says that God will spew you out of His mouth. It makes Him sick. It grosses Him out. It makes Him vomit. That's what that means. God is not happy when we are living according to our sin and telling Him, oh, you need to accept all of my other identities. You just can't be both. Not according to the Scripture. Look in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 26. It's a really unique phrasing there. I want you to look in your Bibles instead of looking up on the board, because I want you to see something in that verse. Jeremiah chapter 23. In verse 6. Do you see something unique in that verse? All your Bibles might not do it. But most of them will have, oh, it even does it on the board. You see that? It capitalizes all of the letters of the Lord our righteousness. You see, He's our righteousness. If I was going to go by my own righteousness, the Scripture tells me that my righteousness is as a filthy rag. I need something else. I need God's righteousness. Jeremiah understands that. He says, the Lord, our righteousness. It's even prophesied how that righteousness would become. In Daniel 9 and verse 24, it begins to speak of the Messiah and what He's going to do, and that He would be able to bring in everlasting righteousness with what He did. Do you recall what Jesus did? He died on the cross. He shed His precious blood for your sins so that the Lord would be your righteousness. Would you accept Him? Do you know righteousness? Do you understand God's righteousness? Titus 3:5 would say it like this. Y'all, everybody should know this one, right? We've sung it a 100 times on Sunday night. Y'all say it with me. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You see, when it's not your righteousness that you've done, but it's according to God's righteousness. And when He applies His righteousness on you, He's having mercy on you because He's saying, you don't have to live by your righteousness. I'm going to give it to you so that you can do this. You can overcome the sins that you have identified with in the past. They don't have to control you. They don't have to overcome you. Those strongholds in your life can be torn down by the same God who brought down the walls of Jericho. Do you need to walk around them? You don't have to walk around them because there's someone who's already paid the price for you. He died on Calvary's Hill. He willingly gave His life so that through His mercy, because of His righteousness, you can be washed by regeneration. Do you understand regeneration? You know, they could take a starfish and they could chop him up into bits and pieces and throw him out in the water. You know what happens that after they do that? They have more starfish than they begin with because it regenerated. It wasn't destroyed. It renewed those pieces. God says, I'm going to renew you. I'm going to cut off the sin from your life, and I'm going to let it grow back of My righteousness in your life by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. He makes you new. Whereas all those things from the past are forgiven. They're not applied to your account. There's an old song that says, the old account was settled long ago. Anybody remember that song? I know it goes way back. It goes back further than our hymn book does. You've got to settle that account with Jesus Christ. You have to have His righteousness applied to your life. You have to be washed by the power of regeneration that only comes because of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Ghost has to renew that within you. Romans 3:25. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Man, God is so patient with us. That's what forbearance means. He's been patient with us. But He has shed His blood for you so that you could be cleansed. So that this, what we're talking about, the washing of regeneration, could be applied to your life. You don't have to live according to sin. It could be taken away from you. You don't have to identify with that sin in the past. You could say, that's the man I used to be, but I don't even understand that person anymore. That's the woman I was, but that's not who I am now. I don't identify like that because Jesus has become my propitiation. He has taken my place. He has healed me in His righteousness. He declared me righteous because my sins have been forgiven, remissed of my sins. I don't have to deal with those anymore. Look with me in Psalms chapter 4. Psalms chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. The psalmist, he cries to God. He says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. He understands. What's His righteousness? It's not His own personal. It's given to Him from God, the God of His righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me. Hear my prayer. God hears your call. He hears your prayer. Have you been struggling with sin? Can you look at yourself and you can say, oh, I'm that person. I'm an idolater. I'm whatever. And I have identified with my sin. And I know that identity needs to be taken away. You know, most of the time when people get married, that the wife will take on the identity of her husband. That's the way it is most of the time. That's tradition. That she will take on her name, my wife. She, man, I'm picking on her today. But she's like, I hate it when people call me Miss Doss. That's your mom. That's not me. But she's taking on my identity. Because she was my bride. Do you realize that if you're a born-again person, you have now become a part of the bride of Christ? Have you taken on the identity of Christ? Or are you still living according to some other identity in this world? And you're thinking that that's okay. You know, I might have been offended if Joy had said, I want to continue to be Joy Gardner for the rest of my life. I don't really want people to know that I'm married to you. God hears you when you call. When you reject that identity from the past, that you reject that sin and death, and you desire His righteousness. When you desire His identity. You don't have to dwell with that of the past. God can make you a new creature. I realize that some of the things from our past haunt us for a long time, but that's not your identity. That's not the unpardonable sin. Your sins have been washed away. You've been given a new slate. You could start over fresh in God's eyes. So many people, I guess they forget that and they hold on to who they were rather than who they are in Jesus Christ. And they think because that's who I was, that's who I must be. And they complain to God and say, God, why have you made me this way? And they try to blame God for the identity that they have in their sinful lives. And that's not who they ever were. I get it. You created with a fallen nature. You were created with a sinful lust in your life. And sometimes that sin, whatever sin that besets you, comes to the surface. Whether it's pornography, whether it's homosexuality, whether it's drunkenness, whether it's fighting, whether it's drunkenness. It could be a host of different things. It doesn't matter. That's not who you are. Those are things that people give themselves to. That is what they obey. They don't have to obey those things. They could submit themselves to God and He will apply His righteousness to them and change those thoughts, change those behaviors. Do you believe that the God who created the universe can take somebody who's born with those type of thinking? Do you think He can rearrange their programming and make them think differently? I believe He can. If he was able to talk to Adam and Eve and form him from the dust of the ground and create DNA so that up out of the ground walks a man and then take his rib and design a woman, I think He can handle the DNA, whatever it is that's going on in your life. He can fix it. I believe it. I believe He's that powerful of a God. And when I cry unto Him and I say, God, I am tired of this sin in my life. I reject it. I want Your righteousness. Would You put it in my heart? I believe He will. And I don't think He'll wait for you to fix it yourself. He'll fix it in you. If you'll give yourself to Him fully and hunger and thirst after His righteousness, He will make you righteous. In this passage, it says that He will enlarge you. Let me tell you, a God that's so big, so powerful, that can make the universe out of nothing, just speak it, out of nothing. How does He get inside of you? He makes you bigger than what you really are. You ever seen Doctor Who? How many of you have ever seen Doctor Who? Man, I can't believe that. That show goes way back eons. Well, let's talk about the TARDIS for a second. It looks like a phone booth, a telephone, a police officer's like telephone booth. Looks like some of y'all are familiar with an outhouse. It's about that size. Okay? But when you step inside the TARDIS in that show, it's much bigger on the inside. It's a whole spaceship with a swimming pool in it, several decks. You've never been in an outhouse like that. It may have felt like it before you got out. I don't know. You don't want to go swimming in it. God enlarges you so that you are much bigger on the inside. You ever talk to somebody and you'll say, man, they've got a big heart. How do they do those things that you see them doing? God enlarges them. So it's not really them doing anything. It's God doing through them. And He is applying His righteousness to their life. He enlarges you. He makes you bigger on the inside. You're going to have to do some studying on the TARDIS. Y'all need to be more like a TARDIS. You need to be bigger on the inside. He does it when you're in distress so that you can be saved by faith. He can make it happen. His mercy will be upon you that your sins can be forgiven. Does anybody want to hold on to your sins? Or do you want your sins forgiven? Everybody wants their sins forgiven. Even the worst people, they want their sins forgiven. They want to hear those words. You're forgiven. I'm not mad at you. I'm not upset at you. I forgive you. Aren't those amazing words to hear when you've done somebody wrong? Even if it was by accident. And they tell you it's nothing. Forget about it. Jesus says, forget about those things. They're blotted out. You've been forgiven. He opens the books. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. You're remembering things that aren't there anymore. They've been blotted out. His mercy's on you. Let me say it again. Your prayer will be heard. He has mercy on you. He hears your prayer. God never turns His ear away from a humble and a contrite spirit. Never. That's what He's waiting on. He's looking for those who just get a glimpse of His righteousness and say, you know what? I want that. I'm tired of this. The rest of this stuff. The world is just lying to me left and right. God wants you to know the truth. He's righteous. And He wants you to be righteous. But there's only one way that you can be righteous. And that's if you're a born again believer. Blood washed. Purchased by Christ, believer. We've got to accept that. We yield ourselves to Him. We obey Him. He applies His righteousness to our life. And it's not difficult. We want it. We love it. We cherish that. Hey, God's offering it. He hears your prayer. He will answer your prayer. You don't have to identify with sin. Identify with Christ. Identify with forgiveness. Identify with holiness and righteousness. Hey, that's why Jesus came. That's why He came. If the pianist and Brother Sean, would you come? Would y'all pray with me? Dear Lord, I just ask that You would just help us this morning to understand Your righteousness. Help us to understand that You're not satisfied with our sinful lives. You want those to be taken out of our life. You want us to be changed. You want us to be like Titus 3:5 says, to be washed by the power of your regeneration and the renewing of your Holy Ghost in our life. We understand it's not by our own righteousness, it's your righteousness. Help us, Lord, to understand this. Help us, Lord, to seek your face and to apply to our life. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand and turn.